At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's MaintainX.com/AI.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
The Thunder have taken the NBA by storm. For the first time, the NBA champion resides in Oklahoma City. The storybook season is complete.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Mathlin, stolen by Williams. One man to beat. Williams gets inside. Mathlin got a piece of it. Williams still backs it home. How did he put that in? Timeout Pacers to lead up to five.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
He goes after the first pitch. A high riser center field. Cal Raleigh bombs away again. Straight away center field. It's his fourth home run in three games on the north side. He just continues to charge through the record books. Number 31 this year for Cal Raleigh.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
Wah, 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 wah.
Hello.
What is happening?
Happy Monday. Happy second day of summer.
That was a lot of hype horn. I'm hyped up now.
Hype horn wasn't ready to go when the hype horn was firing.
Quadruple hype horn. I'm ready now. One hype horn didn't do it anymore. Now I'm going to need four every day.
You know, Will Ortner is the second largest human on the fan.
Yeah, he's a pretty big guy.
But he has a very boy-like nature to him.
Very boy-like.
I can't be mad at him, but like in those moments, I get quite pissed.
Yeah, he looks over. He's just got those little boy eyes over there.
He does. He's got little boy eyes.
I didn't mean it. I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Please don't look at my eyes and call them little boy eyes.
I'm looking deep into your soul right now, Will
Ortner.
You know
what you are? You're Little John from Robin Hood Men in Tights. You're like falling off a bridge. I can't swim.
You're this massive
man. You have no reason to be as soft as you are, but you're soft-natured, nice person.
You are. Very nice for a big guy.
I don't know that I'm the second biggest guy.
Oh, who's the second biggest guy?
Who's bigger than you?
Well, I'm not super heavy. I might be the tallest guy, but I'm also not the heavy. I'm not calling anyone fat.
Fire.
You are definitely saying so.
Absolutely not.
How dare you call me fat?
I have not called anyone fat.
How dare you?
I'm around 235. I bumped up a little bit.
Well, you know, from a height-weight perspective, you're definitely the second.
From a height-weight perspective, you are for sure the second biggest guy.
From height, I'm the tallest.
Yeah.
Now, wait.
Oh, are you taller than Sook?
Yeah, I'm taller than
You're taller than Sook, huh?
Yep.
Ooh. You sure about that?
Controversial. Yeah.
You sure about that?
We might have to go back to back. Are you going to be there tomorrow?
Yeah, I'll be there tomorrow. I think I'm playing 36 again, Dirt.
I think I need a butt-to-butt. You're playing 36 again tomorrow?
No, I think you're complaining.
This is absolute hogwash.
I was going to say, your complaints have cost me golf time.
No, to my knowledge, I'm not. I have zero problem throwing people under the bus. He played two rounds last year.
I was entertaining clients.
Well, I had to stand around on the sixth hole all day. Will Ortner's out there grinding for 36.
I was entertaining clients.
I threw a challenge flag immediately when I found this out,
by the way.
Hold on. Hold on.
60 or 30?
60.
We're taking a full.
Yeah, full time out here.
Why were you golfing with clients?
Great question, Bob.
Clients asked for me to golf with them. It's not my fault that they wanted to golf with me because they enjoy
like a family friend.
My boyish
he was
charms.
Playing with our old boss, Jeff Sacramento. He was in multiple groups. Yeah.
Well, you know Jeff Sacramento is like his best friend's dad.
Oh, I mean, they're homies from way back in the day. They've known each
Will
other
Ortner's
forever.
A nepo hire.
He's a bit of a nepo hire.
Just making stuff up, coming out here. You call me Bronny? This is Bush League.
Yeah, I think as I was standing on one hole for 17 hours last year and I saw Will Ortner come through.
You were sitting.
Will Ortner come through twice. I'm like, wait a minute. One round is bad enough, but this guy gets 36 out here in great conditions? I don't think so. For free, too, on top of it. You got a free 36 last year over my dead body, Will Ortner.
Hey, I bought drinks.
We used to be able to play golf in the golf classic.
Well, here's the trade that I made. You guys get health insurance and benefits, and I get to play 36 during the Fan Golf Classic.
I cannot comment on the health insurance part of what you said publicly.
I can, and I don't got a lot to say there. I get them. You're not wrong.
Have it if you want it.
They're there. I have access to it. I don't know if that's a calling card.
No, but when Swag comes in, he's only done it, I think, a couple times. But when he comes in, if that board is not on and I fire the hype horn and it's not on the air.
Try that.
That. I don't know what that is, but that sends me into...
Chaps your ass?
Yeah, it really chaps my
ass. Your ass is chapped right out of the gate.
And so you starting the show with it not being ready to go, it's like, yo, that's the minimum. I need things ready to be on the
microphones
air.
And board ready to go.
If you hadn't said anything, no one would have noticed. They missed maybe half a second of it. And then I turned it on. I'm over here grabbing audio. I'm doing stuff.
Yeah, but you got to understand, even if the audience may not recognize it, that half a second to me feels like an eternity.
Now the show is a failure. Can we start over again? Right. Can I get a breakfast ball? Just turn this thing back. Play the open again. I want to start over.
All right, I can go grab it for you.
It's not going to be a good full show now. I just shanked my first tee shot out of bounds. I don't want a double bogey on the first hole.
Are we having a breakfast ball restart
breakfast
to our
ball
show at 6:05?
We should get a breakfast ball. Occasionally, you don't get out of the gate the way that you want to. I want a re-tee, man.
I don't think I
want
to listen to Cal Raleigh highlights again.
You don't want Cal Raleigh highlights?
Is Cal Raleigh going to break the home run record?
Are we going to talk about the fact that he's using an illegal torpedo bat, too, to hit all these home runs? Is that going to be a thing?
Only on the left side, and he had ice cream. The ice cream helped him.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Remember when that was a big deal for
two
weeks?
I do. No,
illegal
it was one series.
Oh, my God! And then everybody just stopped talking about
Everybody's
it.
Everybody's like, why doesn't everybody else? I remember the ESPN show before was like, now, what I would expect Smalls... is everybody else in baseball is going to have one of these torpedoes. And I think 2 days later, nobody talked about him because teams had him and weren't doing anything with him.
Yeah, I think my team tried him for a series and they didn't score any runs. They're like, nope, these don't work. We're not going to use these. But Cal Raleigh evidently works for him because he's breaking all sorts of home run records before the All-Star break.
What's Jazz Chisholm been up to?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I haven't watched much Yankee baseball lately.
Well, I feel like he was one of the people that hit a home run.
He was one of the guys with those big goofy bats.
I don't know if I've heard that name since that opening series.
Just yanking bombs all over the place. Yeah, not watched a lot of Yankee baseball, so I cannot confirm or deny if he's having a good or bad year. But I do know that Cal Raleigh's using it. It's pretty remarkable what he's doing.
I'm trying to see where Bonds was at this point when he hit the 70. What
I
want to
say he was at
3.
40.
Is he at 40 already?
41.
So he's
10
above Cal?
41 at the break, if I'm
he
not wrong.
He got to the break? I thought he was at 39. I didn't think they'd gotten to 40.
Well, that's what I'm wondering is how many. When's the break? The break's in 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's right after the 4th of July.
I'd say it's 21 games
right.
or so.
He hit 39 home runs before the All-Star break.
I'm throwing
that
this out
that is the most
there.
Ever prior to the break.
What if he finishes with 36?
Before the break?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a legit chance
to
do it. There's
only five away.
He's got a legit chance.
He'd hold the Mariners record for most home runs. Griffey's got it right now at 35.
So what's Griffey's year? What's his high as a Mariner? Was it
1998, he had 35 home runs.
No, I'm sorry, for the season.
For the season?
58?
Oh, yeah. 50.
Didn't he got hosed by, like, a late-season injury in, like,
we got hosed by the lockout.
And
he
the lockout
year. To break the record, the lockout year.
He got hosed by a lot of stuff. His career high in home runs. Yeah, I mean, that's just hoses you. 56. He had 56 in back-to-back years. 97 and 98. 94 was the year in 111 games when the season was cut short that he had 40.
You ever wrong about a guess, but you're also proud about your guess because it's close to the right answer?
Yeah, that's yeah.
When I said 58, I was like, I know it's an even number.
It's
and
close.
Then you said 56, and I went, boom,
boom, boom, right there.
As if I got that right.
Yeah, the only other guys, there's only six guys in the history of Major League Baseball who have ever hit 35 home runs before an All-Star break. Griffey did it in 98. Luis Gonzalez did it for the Diamondbacks in 2001.
Oh, they won the World Series that year.
They did. Reggie Jackson in 1969. Nice.
What did Gonzo finish with that season?
Hold on. I'll get there. Okay. McGuire, 37 and 98. Chris Davis in 2013 with Baltimore.
Nothing to see here.
Remember that one.
Yeah, standalone season.
I did it clean. And then Bonds, obviously, with a record with 39 in 2001. Luis Gonzalez, let me pull up his old stat line. That was 2001. I remember him having a monster season that year.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think he came close to, like, breaking records or anything, so I'm assuming he cooled off a little bit after the break.
Hopefully he got to 50.
In 2001, he hit 57 home runs.
Dude, that's remarkable.
Dude, talk about outliers, too, for Luis. Luis Gonzalez needs to be investigated a little bit more.
You know who he reminds me of?
Who?
My guy. My guy.
Your guy.
Javi Lopez.
Javi Lopez had a moment, one of
Javi
these moments,
Javi Lopez was
too.
A good player.
Very good player.
And then one year, he hit like 49 homers, and I'm like, what's happening?
His career high in home runs. He had been in... Luis Gonzalez broke into the big leagues in 1991.
What are we doing right
1991.
Now?
I didn't quite remember this full history. 91. His previous home run high before he hit 57 was he only had one year where he hit 30.
Yeah, see, weird outliers like that, like... 20's not crazy. Just maybe he got hot in a zone.
Dude, 50s.
But also that era, you're
He had 2 years in his career where he hit 30 home runs in a season. And one of those years, he hit 57 home runs in 2001.
So here it is. This is what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Javi Lopez, 99, 11 homers. Javi Lopez, 2000, 24 homers.
Okay.
Javi Lopez, 2001, 17 homers.
Okay.
Javi Lopez, 2002, 11 homers.
Yeah.
Javi Lopez, 2003, 43 homers.
One of these is not like the other.
32 home run jump from one year to the next.
You know, look, he got into a groove. What can you say about Javi Lopez in the early 2000s, man? He didn't get stronger for any particular reason. He just was on a heater that year.
Look, I don't care if he did or didn't. I loved Javi Lopez.
Yeah. I was a big Javi Lopez guy.
I think if anything I've learned from that era to nowadays baseball is like I guess I just don't care that much.
No, it doesn't bother me at all.
Especially
now that guys are cheating with torpedo bats. What's the difference?
Well, are they cheating with
torpedo
bats?
We have a bigger barrel.
Where are you starting the measurement on the barrel?
Okay, let's get back to Will. Who is fatter than you think?
Ooh.
I thought we'd gotten away from this.
I was not.
I was just saying that if we all, for whatever reason,
you said tallest, you didn't, and then you specifically.
I was just correcting your opinion.
Yeah, if you weigh 230, there's definitely people in the building that weigh more than that.
Are you more than 230?
I am not more than 230.
You claim to be a fat.
Jesus, I'm not more than 230.
Are you two bills?
I am two bills.
You're two bills?
I'm two bills, yeah. I'm a big boy.
Okay.
I'm large and in charge. Large Marge.
How was your golf weekend?
Dude, I'm toast. I suck at golf. I'm tired.
Yes, one of us.
I can't hang
one
anymore.
One of us. Now, before you say this, what was your score that makes you go, I suck now?
I shot
84?
Two 89s and a 90. That's pretty bad.
It's
not that bad, actually.
That's pretty bad.
You
played really tough courses.
Yeah, I mean, Central Oregon golf's tough, and it was super windy. Like, the last two rounds, it was like 30-mile-an-hour winds the entire time, which made it incredibly challenging when you don't know where the ball's going, and it's blowing left to right, like 30 miles an hour. A little difficult. The cumulative effect of a bachelor party weekend just kills me at this age.
Was it a...
It wasn't crazy. Like, nobody went crazy.
Yeah.
I was in bed most nights by 12, 12:30,
so it was
nothing...
Your brother-in-law doesn't strike me as get crazy guys.
No, he just wanted to go play golf. golf over in Central Oregon, so it was like, all right, let's go do this. But it's just the wear and tear of three straight days of golf, a little more booze per day than I'm used to, and then, you know, you're getting up relatively early. I was on an air mattress in a laundry room. You know, it's one of those kind of situations where your back's a little tight.
How did the guy that booked the golf end up on an air mattress in a laundry room?
Well, look, I did that on my own. My buddy Tommy did that on one of our golf trips we were on, and I actually thought it was a genius idea because you have all these, like, I'm too old to share a bed with another man. I think I've reached that point in life.
Is that what was happening?
Well, it's just there's not that many beds. There's like six beds and 11 guys. So you like do the math of like somebody's bunking up.
What about couches?
Somebody's sleeping on a couch. But then when you're in a couch, you're in the middle of a living room. So people are staying up late. Like, am I just going to go to bed? But a couple of guys want to stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning because there were some late nighters. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to get out in front of this, take the air mattress, put it in a room. That way I got my own room, got my own privacy. But then you're sleeping on an air mattress in a laundry room.
I hate air mattresses.
I do too, Bob. They're not great, but it beats a couch and at least getting a little bit of privacy.
What do you need? Okay, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
So I grew up where if it's quiet, I can't sleep.
Yeah, you like noise when you sleep?
Yeah, I'm used to my stepdad screaming at my mom as I'm trying to sleep as a five-year-old.
That didn't quite happen to me when I was a kid, so I like a little quiet.
Touche. But, like, I would rather be around the noise with more comfort than no noise. I don't know. What do you need privacy for?
Well, see, here's the thing. I feel like you're splitting hairs with the couch and the air mattress comfort. I don't find couches that comfortable to sleep on.
Well, I guess it does depend on the couch.
You know, it depends on the couch. Yeah. And I also, I like going on the side, kicking the knees out. I spread out a little bit. Can't do that on the couch.
That's usually what you bring the table in for.
Put your leg down
so
on the table.
So you put that leg out the blanket onto the table, and now you got
I was resting
situation.
On a wood table, and now I got a bruise on my ankle. I'm too old for this, man. I can't hang anymore.
Touche.
So, yeah, laundry room sleeping and cumulative effect of not or drinking a little bit much and not getting too much sleep. It's just, I'm toast. It's going to be a while to recover.
How much did that pronghorn shirt cost?
Look,
you?
No comment. Don't worry about that, okay? I will say the private
over
side.
Over under $80.
The private side at pronghorn, the Fazio side, if you ever get a chance to go play it.
I probably won't.
The nicest golf course I've ever played in my life.
Really?
Like, it was unbelievable.
Pronghorn private. Nicest course.
Yeah, so they got two courses at Pronghorn. Okay. There's the Nicklaus course, which is public, and then Fazio, which is the private side.
Okay.
And that's the side we got a hookup to go play on. I almost felt bad hitting balls in the fairway. It was like, I felt like you're just hitting balls off of a smooth carpet.
Really?
Nothing. I mean, just gorgeous, pristine.
You shot 89 there?
I shot an 89 there, yeah. Could have been a lot better.
Putting woes?
No, I actually drove the ball well. It's iron play. Just doomed me. Iron play. I just could not hit an iron on the green.
I played at OGA on, what would it have been? Thursday?
Thursday?
Friday.
Thursday, Friday?
Friday. I can't remember the day. I've already lost track.
It's all a blur. We were off for
same
4 days.
Same problem.
Yeah.
But I also, I might have popped the gummy at the wrong time.
Ooh, you got to time it right when you're playing golf.
Plus 17 on the front.
Oh, okay. So did it hit on the back?
It hit literally at the start of the tee.
Ah.
And I was like, I'm okay.
Didn't ease you into
it. And I just hit shots. Like, what am I doing right now?
Questioning everything.
Dude, by the turn, totally good.
Yeah.
Five over at the back nine.
That's a decent little turnaround right there.
Dude, why didn't I not do that?
Where was the timing of this? Did not play out
sober
perfectly.
Golf, maybe the better route here.
Did not play out. The highlight of the weekend, though, probably was two of the guys. One of them's a P1. Shout out to Jerry. We were at 10 barrel after our round on Saturday.
I love a Jerry.
Jerry, good Jerry.
Need a Jerry.
And we went to 10 barrel, and for some reason, these guys decided they had these like food challenges that you could try. And they decided, we're going to do this. This is like the peak of craziness
like
of a bachelor
the big
party.
Pizza that nine guys have eaten in 30 minutes
or
whatever.
So it was a two-man challenge.
All right.
And it was a 30-inch pizza. Plus, I want to say, remember that Tower of Power that we saw before the Timbers game? It was one of those. I can't remember how many ounces are in there, but it's big. It's a lot of beer. Two guys had to do it. Nobody had ever done it drinking beer. Now, they allow you to do like soda or lemonade for the non-alcoholics out there. To me, that's a no countsies. One group had done it doing lemonade before, but doing beer, nobody had ever done it. They legitimately, after 30 minutes, they had 9 ounces of beer left. And like two crusts left. That's all that they had left. They came that close to finishing it.
What stopped them from
just going past
the threshold?
They ran out of gas. Damn. They just, you know, and I don't blame them. That's a lot. One of the guys, this was probably 5 o'clock-ish on Saturday. I didn't see him the rest of the trip.
Really?
I'm pretty sure he's still alive, but I did not see him the rest of the trip. He got done, went, started walking around the building. I'm assuming he was heaving somewhere. I don't know what happened. We got back to the house. This is at like 6 o'clock.
This is why I don't do these. I have no interest in feeling like
he
that.
He went upstairs, and nobody never saw came him back. Again the rest of the night. And I left Sunday morning. I don't know.
What if he was still there?
I got no idea. Could still be sleeping in that rental in Sun River. I got no clue.
Ortner, who is the person on the fan that you think is bigger than you that would eat a 30-inch pizza?
Me.
Would you care to name names?
30-inch pizza, dude.
Dude, that was a big
I don't think anyone can eat like me because I'm still young and, like, I just have some Tums.
Can you name a name? Who is bigger than you at the fan?
Well, there are plenty of people bigger than me, and I think this is...
Plenty of people.
I think there's plenty.
Multiple shots fired.
It's not me.
We went from one... Clearly, it's not me. We went over weights here.
It's not Rop. It's not Dusty.
No. It's not Swigard.
It's probably not Fisher. Not Harris.
I think if you know, you know.
I think you just say the name.
You think you think Jordan Schultz weighs more than Will Ortner?
No chance.
I don't
no
think
chance.
So. He's not tall
He's
enough.
He's 5'5". Five.
He's
know.
Not tall enough.
I'm just asking questions.
There are people that weigh more than me. And look, it's...
Jeff Russ looking at you. Fun. Is this a shot at Jeff Russ right
no,
now?
No,
he's got
of course
a big
no.
gut.
He does.
Jeff Russ has big gut. No
I
butt.
Just want everyone at the fan to remember that I'm not the one that's going through the roster player by player and determining who has a big gut and
well,
doesn't.
Well, you know, when you play 36 at the Fan Golf Classic, this is what you get. This yeah. is the payoff right
this
here.
This is what I'm out here entertaining clients, bringing in sales, not even not. A salesman.
This is why you're the 38th greatest Hawkinson High School football prospect of all time.
Yeah.
Right there, what you're doing.
That's a solid ranking. Being top 40 is something to be proud of.
That's what I think.
Being top 40, I would take.
It's a shame by it, but I think
it's an illustrious offensive line school.
It is.
O-line U.
O-line High.
O-line High.
O-line High.
That's what they call it up there.
Well, we got a lot to get to, obviously. We haven't even gotten to the stuff we need to get to because the show started off so weird. But it is good to be back. Thank you to you and Rashad for holding it down on Friday. Heard good things. Glad you guys got the reps. Busy show. We'll go to Houston for the ticker. May have heard of a big NBA trade, not involving the Blazers.
They did something on Game 7 of the NBA Finals day to steal the Thunder.
Touche.
Hey, look
Pun
at
intended.
Us. Over here.
to steal the Thunder. And we will start there. The Oklahoma City Thunder are your NBA champions. We start there, Dirt and Sprague, on the fan.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
The Thunder have taken the NBA by storm for the first time
The NBA champion resides in Oklahoma City. The storybook season is complete.
You know, Dirt, I don't know if it's Gary Payton sour grapes or Sean Kemp sour grapes or Hersey Hawkins sour grapes or Perkins or Schrempf, McIlvain. You know, I don't know what it is, but something weird and unsatisfying about hearing Oklahoma City is the NBA champion.
Yeah, it really pissed me off. That sucked. Everything about yesterday sucked. It all sucked. I did see a pretty funny college football Reddit post that said, imagine telling people in Oklahoma in 2001, that was the last time Oklahoma won a national championship with Bob Stoops, that in 2001, you're going to win an NBA championship before you win another college football national title. And people, because they, I mean, just,
that would have blown their mind.
They wouldn't, like, the idea of even having an NBA team didn't even exist. Yeah. They didn't come about for basically another 10 years, and that was nearly a quarter century ago, and they have won an NBA championship before another college football title.
I just admittedly, like, I totally think they deserved it. They obviously are a remarkable
blah, blah,
team.
Blah, they're good. Yeah, we all know they're good. Screw Oklahoma City, dude. Screw them. One guy from Oklahoma City, one media member I saw, somehow he showed up in my algorithm on Twitter. I can't believe it actually happened. I can't believe it. What? Why can't you believe you won 68 games this year? You were 68-14.
They've never won a championship.
Oh, yeah, and their 15-year history.
17.
Dear God, 17-year history. Are you kidding me? Give me a... You go 50 years without winning a title, and then tell me how it feels, Oklahoma City. Go 14 years without winning a first-round playoff series, then tell me how it feels.
I know, but... You got to admit, they've gone through some weird stuff. Where
yeah, like three MVPs. Yeah, weird history. In 17 years, they've only had three MVPs.
No, I mean...
They've only been to two NBA finals and multiple conference finals.
Look, certainly I'm here with you emotionally, okay? But I do understand the point of...
Asterisk, too. They would have lost if Halliburton didn't get hurt.
If you... Well, that's... Yes, we need to get
fake
into
title.
That.
Fake title. You can tell by their
fake
celebration,
title.
Too. I think if you look at the Kevin Durant celebration in Golden State...
No.
He knew. He was like, damn it, this was... I shouldn't have done that. OKC was walking around, like, shaking hands. They knew.
Well, they knew it was over.
Asterisk title.
No,
doesn't count. I'm not counting half a title, OKC.
I'll tell you this, and maybe I'm wrong here. I did think you saw some... Like, Jalen Williams was crying.
Yeah, he was crying.
That was pretty emotional.
He's fine, I guess.
I have been wondering, do teams celebrate the same that they used to?
I think it depends on how you win and who you beat, to
but,
be honest.
To me, it feels like back in the day, teams celebrated, then dapped up. Like,
yeah.
You see this in college baseball, right? You see the team dog pile. They do their hugs, their high fives, their crying, you know, emotional moments. And then they do the
the celebration,
good game line.
Yes.
Hockey, same thing. Gloves everywhere.
Yeah.
Sticks on the ice. Skate around. Emotional.
The team waits around until they're done celebrating, and then you do the handshake line.
And I've been watching a lot of old school, because tomorrow we got a specialty show for you. We recorded for an hour and 20 minutes in our offices.
What a dumb idea that was.
Our NBA all-time top 10, which... If you catch it tomorrow, you're probably going to hate us, but I already said it's probably going to change in 5 years.
Yeah.
And all of it's kind of stupid because I don't think there really is just one. I think there's a farm of goats.
Yes.
Okay? But one thing in watching some of these old school games that I have been in my off time is when you watch these teams celebrate, it's all a rush immediately. I just watched the Suns lose in the finals to the Bulls. Paxson hits the shot. The Suns' final shot is a terrible play that Kevin Johnson can't get off. Charles Barkley never touches the ball.
Great last possession.
Game over. Game six is done. Michael Jordan has won.
Another title.
Another championship, his third in a row. And I'm watching the Bulls celebrate, and they're all just running together in a big pile, going crazy, and the Suns are just dazed and confused, waiting to high-five and say good game. Whereas I feel like now in the NBA, at least, and maybe even a little in the NFL, it's like, immediate, hey, good game.
Yeah, you go dap up first.
Hey, and then it because then celebrating after that is weird.
It is, because then the moment's kind of gone. It's not the
exact,
the clock hits zero. We're champion! Like, that's when the big celebration happens, not the dapping up.
I think they're doing it backwards right now in the NBA, and I don't know when that started, but I feel like it's backwards. They should be celebrating first.
Yeah, and then shaking hands.
Then shaking hands,
if I'm being honest,
have to wait.
To be honest with you, too, I would just tell the losers to get the hell off the floor. I wouldn't want to go shake somebody's hand after
that
if I lost.
It's a seven-game battle,
I'm not saying it's not a seven-game battle. Like, go do it in the tunnel after the game.
Nah.
Like, you don't need to do it on the floor. I don't need to see that.
See, I'm the guy that's, I'm the sicko that's in the dugout watching you celebrate going.
Sitting on the bench.
I will be there one day. Well, I will be that guy.
Indiana won't be there next year, but I digress. Yeah, I just.
You like that Bane trade more, don't you?
Yeah, it looks better in the East now because all of a sudden everybody's hurt in that conference. Three of the best players in the Eastern Conference are now out for the entire year next year. Somebody was doing a side-by-side video of the celebration in hockey and NBA and how different it was, and it was weird. And I don't know if it's just what's happening now in the NBA. I can't tell you what Denver did to celebrate or how Milwaukee's celebration did, right? Like, we get caught in the moment with these things. I do wonder, I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek, but the injury in the first quarter sucked the entire life out of that game. That was a game seven.
It did, but then they had a halftime lead.
That's great. And then in the third quarter, all of a sudden you look up and you're like, all right, there you go. Now you're down by 10 and you don't have your best player. And how long can you actually
agree
do this
with
for?
That, yeah.
Like that, he came out and hit three threes right out of the gate. And you're like, uh-oh, this is going to be a game. And then that happened. And just watching at home. And I'm wondering if there was a little bit of that too, of like, even in the arena, I think Obi Toppin was the one after the game. He was like, yeah, it sucked the life out of our locker room. And how does it not? Your best player goes down in the first quarter of a game seven. It was like when Colt McCoy got hurt against Alabama in the title game. And then ended up being like a okay game. But it's no, like, that was the whole build-up.
What was the backup in that? Gilbert Grape.
Gilbert,
what was his name?
What's eating Gilbert Grape?
Was it Garrett?
Garrett Grape? No, not Garrett.
Why do I have it as a G?
It's definitely a G.
Is it definitely a G?
I feel like it's
but
a
G. But I remember that feeling, too, of like, yeah, he left in the first quarter pretty early. He's not coming back. Backup quarterback against
Garrett Gilbert.
Yeah, Garrett
I was close. Gilbert came in the first quarter.
Might as well be a Garrett.
And they, I mean, they hung around for a while, and Alabama pulled away and won 37-21. So it's like, you know, it just all that build up. Texas, are they going to win another one against Alabama? Two big programs and just kind of dud right out of
the game. I got an emotional comp. Me and Will were doing a show when this happened live. I interrupted a take that Ortner was giving to like.
It was fire.
What was?
My take.
I don't remember what it was.
You cut off a fire take?
I did.
So good.
Ooh, right, buddy. In the middle. Imagine interrupting Stephen A. Smith in the middle of him yelling at you.
Controversial, man. Big Perk, you don't know what you're talking about! If anybody missed the pre and halftime show, that's how it sounded yesterday.
My daughter looked at me and goes, why is this man screaming at me? Does he not know he has a microphone on his ear? And I went, this is sports television now.
I think Bob Myers even had a line where he was like, just because you're yelling doesn't mean it's a good point or something like that.
Yeah, well, I digress. Let's get into the biggest thing from that Game 7. I know the Thunder won it. We'll give them their flowers. But let's get into the biggest thing. We'll do it next on The Fan. Well, I don't think it's crazy to suggest that when Tyrese Haliburton went down in the first quarter, there's two things that I was doing a show with Ortner, and Ortner's in the middle of a take. I think it was Kevin Durant trade related. Because, you know, we're on during the Game 7. Nobody's listening to our show.
Grade the trade.
So let's zig while everybody else is zagging, right? Like, yeah. Let's talk about the trade. So he's in the middle of a Kevin Durant trade thing.
I can't wait to hear your takes on the Kevin Durant trade today, Will Ortner.
I actually don't know anything he was saying during the show. I was watching Game 7 every time I wasn't talking.
You just wait till there's a moment of silence and you realize it's your time to talk, and then you jump in with another take.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm watching this, and I see this, and there's two takeaways, and I immediately said this on the air. One, that is absolutely an injury. We don't need to be a doctor to diagnose and say, you know what that is.
Yeah, I don't need to see that in slow motion.
Once we were told the whole pop thing, every time we see that now in sports, we all have the same reaction. And I love that on social media, people do this whole, like, well, let's wait and see. I don't need to. I saw it fire. It's a slingshot, buddy, and that thing fired. It popped.
I love the report in-game of the Indiana Pacers say that Haliburton is out for the rest of the game with a lower body injury. You don't say!
And then his dad comes out and just tells Lisa Salters, yeah, it's the Achilles.
Oh, he's got a lower body. I didn't know that. I thought it was his shoulder that was banged up.
Couldn't tell from the towel over his head and him crying openly in the middle of Game 7 that's a devastating
screaming
injury.
On the floor. It happened. Yeah, that was terrible.
The other takeaway I had, and I said this, was Kevin Durant got hurt in the NBA Finals as a Warrior.
He did.
Because he was playing off of what injury?
Calf injury.
Damian Lillard
mm-hmm.
got injured in the playoffs, came back and played for the Bucks against these Pacers.
He did.
Popped his Achilles. What injury did he have?
Calf injury.
You will not see guys play off calf strains anymore. That was the final nail in that coffin of, yeah, I think I'm 80%, I'd give it a go. Nope. No, sorry, Bob. You will not see that anymore. So we know that injury when we see it.
Yeah.
We don't need a medical degree for that. And this has now, it's going to change the timeline of injuries like calf strains, because we've seen enough examples to say, hey, man, if that thing's not 100% and you're putting all this pressure and movement on it,
sure,
it may be more liable to have that pop effect, and that is devastating.
I think the challenging part for these guys and the organizations themselves is, like, there's obviously the added risk and added potential that that could happen. And I think based on his reaction, he was well aware of it. And I think you make an argument based on the trade Indiana made last week that they were aware that this could potentially happen. They randomly just traded to get their first round pick back for next year out of nowhere in the middle of the NBA finals. And everybody's like, wait a minute, they're making trades? Okay. Trading this year's pick, getting next year. Okay. All right. You're trying to, like, compete. Why are they doing this in their head? And then when he's on the ground banging the floor saying it happened, like, he clearly knew that there was the case that this could happen. The challenging thing in a situation like this is, what do you do as an organization? Because there's no way Halliburton's letting you take him out of the NBA Finals with a calf strain. There's no chance. That guy's too competitive. It's the NBA Finals. There's no guarantee you're ever going to get back to this point. They were, what, the 4-5 seed in the Eastern Conference this year? There's no guarantee you get back to this spot. He's got one more chance to win a game to win an NBA championship. He was great in Game 6. They killed him in Game 6. He played pretty well in that game. And so I think you got that challenge as an organization of, is it worth the risk? Because the outcome could potentially be that he's out for an entire calendar year, but the reward could be you might win an NBA championship. Like, there's not an easy scenario. I think in the regular season, 100% guys are going to be out for like 2 months with this injury, because it's the middle of February and it doesn't matter what's going on.
That changes things
a lot. It totally does. But come playoff time, man, it's going to be hard when you have this back and forth, because I'm sure the organization will want to say, we don't want to lose you for a calendar year. And the player's going to say, this is my opportunity. I got to play in these games,
also
the playoffs.
It's your career, man. That injury, yes, as we go along, it might be the ACL at some point where that injury happens. You're out for the season, but you can be back and you can be close to being the old player. Kevin Durant certainly has shown that. We'll see what Dame and Tatum and now Halliburton have. Coincidentally, all three Achilles pops wearing the number 0 in this playoffs. So weird. But right now, it's still devastating. So I guess the threshold for me is, one, you got to trust the player, how he feels, what they're thinking. You got to trust your medical staff.
Yep.
But also, first round, nah.
Not worth it.
Not worth it.
Second round,
I'd even argue, not worth it.
So conference finals is okay?
Well, yeah, but I'm going to leave it up to the player. Yeah. And I'm going to say this
and
is...
And the player, I think, is going to say, I want to play 10 times out of 10.
And if that's the position they want to put themselves in, they're more than welcome to. But I don't think you'll see it in the regular season, which is going to change the timeline of calf strain injuries now.
For sure it will.
So we need to bear that in mind. And I don't think even in the early set of the playoffs, you're going to see teams okay them to play. I think you get in the back end, the Final Four, the championship. Yeah, absolutely. Have at it. Risk it for the biscuit. Totally understand it. Devastating. To watch that happen in real time, I was rooting like hell for the Pacers. I bet on the Pacers' money line. I wanted to see Indiana have a championship.
Yep.
It would have been, I still think it would have been better for the league for them to win that title. Now Oklahoma City wins it, and they were very deserving of it, not taking anything away from them. But now the dynasty word's going to get thrown around today. When that injury happened in real time, I was looking for injuries that happened in similar moments in my lifetime that felt as devastating as that one did. Now, you can give me KD in the Raptor series. That was a Game 5.
Yes, it was.
This is Game 7.
And he had just knocked down 3 straight threes.
Well, he had 9 points. Like, he came out the gate red hot.
9 and 7 minutes.
He's talking to the Oklahoma City crowd. Yep. This dude's clearly in a, I'm taking this from you day.
Yep, he's always big in big moments.
And the one I came back to after thinking about this in real time, I had two. I had Willis McGahee memories.
Yeah.
And the most recent one for me of how I felt in terms of this dictated the outcome, potentially, Brock Purdy, Eagles, NFC Championship game.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
I couldn't, like, Kevin Durant is certainly worthy of this. I don't think that they beat the Raptors with Klay Thompson and not Kevin Durant.
Sure, I think it's a little bit different, too, because they had won back-to-back titles. Like, they were going for a three-peat, and that changes the equation a little bit in my mind of the devastation.
Sure.
Indiana's never won a championship. Niners hadn't won one in a long time. Some of the other analogies you use, there's like a gap there where this is a huge moment. They were going for a three-peat. He'd already raised two banners.
And it's just such a bummer for the sport and for any moment in sports when an injury like that happens and happens at that moment, that early, with that on the line.
Yeah, the only one that came to my mind, just because it really, for me at home, and I know there was a halftime lead, and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this is even a thing. The only other one that stood out to me was the Colt McCoy injury, Texas, Alabama. Just because of
that's a really good
one. The buildup, the anticipation. Yeah. It's the first time we've had a Game 7. I was shocked with Indiana winning Game 6 the way that they won it after the way Halliburton looked in Game 5 when he couldn't make a field goal and they lost, hung around, but ultimately couldn't win. And they won that game by 30. They killed them in Game 6. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden you have this like, wow, I can't believe we actually have a Game 7. First time in basically a decade since we've had one. It's been a long-ass time. Sunday night, it was a great sports day. You had the College World Series. Travelers Championship was an awesome ending. Like all this build-up to Game 7. Let's sit down, watch Game 7, and then 9 minutes into the game, Achilles pops. And it sucked the life out of it of me. And it was crazy that they were tied or slightly up at halftime. But you just knew in the back, like, there's no way they're going to win this game without Halliburton.
So let me ask you this.
I gave them 0% chance to win that game. Without him at all on the floor, 0% chance.
I had the initial feeling of that 0% you speak of. And then I watched the second quarter. My gambling show got done. And I'm watching them. And they take the Nembhard three, puts him up one at half. And I went, you know, see, I just kept saying, if Siakam can be great.
Yeah, it's just so much easier to defend him, though, with that. They're so good defensively, OKC is.
I know.
And you take away arguably their biggest offensive threat or their second biggest offensive threat.
They're just so feisty all playoff. Yeah. I didn't want to completely disrespect them. And
they were in the fourth quarter, too. I mean, they didn't give up. They didn't quit.
The third quarter, 18 points off turnovers is going to lose you the basketball game every time.
It doomed them. You lost your point guard. They turned the ball over a ton. Not that they didn't when he was on the floor, too. That was the bigger bummer. And the takeaway for me, honestly, from the game and the injury, well, one, it's the ramifications of next year, because you're now looking at an Eastern Conference next year without Jason Tatum, Damian Lillard, and Tyrese Halliburton all season, and that's before anybody else even gets hurt. So now all of a sudden that East looks weird and wild and wacky and wide open. We'll see how the offseason goes for everybody. But I also thought, like, what would be the bigger takeaway from you in this series? Like, what's the bigger memory? And I think part of it has to do with what OKC does going forward. But if this ends up being a one-off title, because we do this dynasty stuff all the time, and it's not a guarantee. We did it with Giannis in Milwaukee. We did it with Jokic in Denver, and they just got one. So we'll see how the future goes. If this ends up being a one-off title, I think my bigger sticking memory will be the vision of Tyrese Halliburton on the floor slamming the court.
Dirt, I don't think there's any question. They could win two or three from this group, and I do think they're different than the others because of their youth. They could win it next year and repeat. I always think when we go back to their first, we're going to remember this of Halliburton.
Yeah.
Achilles first quarter.
Similar to when Golden State won their first title, and it was, you know, oh my God, Golden State won a championship, but they largely did it without Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving on the other side. Yeah. And, you know, LeBron pushed him to six, but that was a little caveat that you put on it for sure.
You know who Dellavedova was yesterday?
Matthew Dellavedova.
TJ McConnell.
TJ McConnell had himself a nice little series.
TJ McConnell.
He did.
Had himself a hell of a series.
Scrappy. Jim Rad.
We'll hear from the Pacers on the Halliburton stuff. We'll celebrate. Well, we won't celebrate, but the Oklahoma City Thunder have won the NBA championship. One part of the team that I took away that I really enjoyed. We'll get to that coming up next on The Fan.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintained in the letter X.com/AI.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Did you see the note from a lot of the reporters on hand? So Alex Caruso is the oldest player on the Thunder. He's 31. Which is why people throw out the dynasty word with them. They're all in their 20s, mid-20s, young 20s.
All young and under contract.
All coming back here. Sam Presti has now crowned his genius label with a championship. Yes.
The greatest executive in the history of sports.
We will get to the big NBA trade. It is a draft week here in Portland. We will obviously talk about that.
It's pretty wild, the NBA draft's on Wednesday. I'm not going to lie to you.
Of just like, can't believe it's already here.
Like it's just, okay, here we go. That feels really like I'm sure it's always this quick. This feels quicker than normal.
I do feel like we were saying 2 weeks ago, hey, it's in 2 weeks.
Hey, it's in 2 weeks.
And now it's Wednesday.
Yeah, 48 hours away, man.
So we'll get to that. And then also on the note of Halliburton leaving early, we also had another person in sports leave very early in his championship.
We did.
But that one was unplanned, and an egomaniac is the one that caused that to happen. So we'll talk about that today, because that was kind of crazy.
That was, it's going to get lost in the shuffle from yesterday, but everybody should be fired.
Well, much like Game 6 lost in the shuffle, Arkansas gagging on themselves also lost in the shuffle.
Poor Arkansas, dude.
I had a listener say that might have been the biggest choke he's ever seen in all of sports, which I said no, but that was a really good one, because they should have beaten LSU.
I mean, I got to have to, because you got to.
28-3 in the Super Bowl. I mean.
Yeah, touche. Touche. Yeah.
We've got a lot of
I cede the point. I cede the point there. Dude, that was bananas on Thursday. Was that Thursday night that happened?
It was Thursday,
or Wednesday night or whatever. Dude, that was insane that they blew that lead.
So we'll get to all that stuff. Blazer draft week. Anyways, 31-year-old Alex Caruso. Did you see this? This is kind of embarrassing. This is kind of what I'm talking about is there's a lost era of sport that they just knew how to do stuff a little better, celebrate a championship in the NBA. I think they did better 10 years ago. The Oklahoma City Thunder players, nobody but Caruso knew how to open champagne bottles. They all grabbed them, and there's video. They're just looking at it. They don't know what to do, and Caruso pops it because he won it with the Lakers.
Yeah,
he's like, yo, we got to shake these up,
and then
we pop them, and then we just dump it on each other. And the Hartenstein had to basically go to the podium, which his kid sleeping during the championship
that
celebration
was a funny
was hilarious.
Moment. Yeah, just passed out in front of 20,000 people.
He basically said, yeah, he had to teach us all how to do it. Nobody knew how to open champagne bottles.
Look, there's the moment where you want to give them their respect and their due. They're one of the best teams we've ever seen. They won 68 games. I think their total
84 total.
84 totals on like three teams in the history of the league who have won more games cumulatively in a season than what OKC did this year. This knocks him down the pecking order a little bit. Like
this makes him the third greatest.
I already didn't have a lot of respect for him because I just hate them in general.
Sure.
And now I feel good about hating them. How do you not know how to open a bottle of champagne?
They must never drink it.
I mean, I don't drink champagne.
Chad is like 24.
I've never celebrated with champagne, and I can tell you how to pop a bottle of champagne.
Have you ever struggled with a bottle of champagne?
I mean, I think everybody does, and you try not break something at some point because you're shooting it up, make sure they're not pointing towards any lights or anything.
The worst champagne bottles are the ones with the plastic tops instead of the wood corks.
Oh, that's no good.
Dude, yeah. I had a plastic one break.
Yeah, the plastic one's
stuck in the bottle. We had to shatter the top of the bottle off to get the champagne out.
You just pop the wood cork. There you go. And you spray the champagne. This is an embarrassing look for a young team. And it makes me question everything about them.
It's not great. TJ McConnell had himself a hell of an NBA Finals, man. Hell of an NBA Finals.
He had a moment.
He, at one point, from the 8:52 mark in the third quarter until about, I want to say, the 7:40 to 8-minute mark in the fourth, was the only Pacer to score.
Yeah. He went on like a solo run to keep them at least somewhat involved in that game.
He was very emotional. The cameras followed him. I thought ESPN's camera coverage was great. All the other coverage, meh. Salters was good in the postgame. She asked a lot of great questions.
Yeah,
on
she
the
was solid.
But here was TJ McConnell on the Halliburton injury.
It was a tough feeling to see your franchise guy go down like that. But to have to move on and kind of compartmentalize it is tough. You know, I thought we were fine. I don't even remember the score going into halftime, but we were up one. So, you know, I thought we did a good job of kind of compartmentalizing it. Obviously, we missed him, but you know, we all are devastated for him. And you know, obviously support them.
Pretty remarkable they were able to have a halftime lead given seeing their captain go down like that.
For sure it was. I think a lot of it, too, was the tightness of, I mean, it's just a game seven. You got a super young team who doesn't know how to open champagne bottles playing in a game seven.
And Jalen started 2 of 7 from the field.
Chet was non-existent, yep. And like a walking ghost in the first half, and SGA was fine. But I think there was a little bit of that nervous energy, and then all of a sudden the turnover started. They got easy buckets in transition.
Yeah.
You build a 10-point lead, and then things just compounded in the second half.
A little too much McConnell.
A little too much.
He had a nice run, and then it felt like eventually once his run ended, he just kept doing the dribbling and the getting into the paint looking for the pass, and then it just kept leading to bad things.
It did. They had a lot of turnovers there in the third quarter.
Very unfortunate. The NBA Finals will probably remember that Game 7 for the Halliburton injury.
The two biggest standouts in that series for me were the Game 1 comeback win for Indiana, the shot that Halliburton hit, and then the Halliburton injury, which is weird because OKC is a deserving champion.
I'll say this going to the second hour because we'll talk a little Blazers in it. I just don't know if there can be a more devastating final result of an all-time fun, rootable team in Indiana, and it coming to an end the way it did. You lost in a Game 7, and you lost your franchise guy for another calendar year.
You feel like you lost all of next season.
Like you got as kick in the junk in a big moment spot as you possibly could have been.
Yeah, at least if you just lose the game, it's, well, maybe we'll be back next year, we'll fight back, and now it's like, well, maybe we'll be back in 2027.
Yeah, just devastating to see what happened. But Oklahoma City won. They won their first championship in OKC. We'll talk a little bit more. We'll get back into that series. We'll talk about the Thunder aspect of it because the team building part of it is truly remarkable what Sam Presti was able to do. Them winning the title at such a young age. Second youngest team, I believe, to win an NBA championship behind our Blazers, right?
Our 1977 Blazers.
I thought they beat the Blazers.
I had this stat wrong. Kept saying they're the youngest team to make the finals, and then I saw the stat from ESPN after that said the Blazers are like 24.9 and the Thunder are 25.1. Or
this AI overview on Google still says the 77 Blazers. The average age was 25.03.
Thank you.
That's what this says.
We are the youngest champions of
all
time. Suck it, OKC.
Aren't you happy
they're not Seattle, though? As much as you don't like the Thunder, or doesn't it make you a little happier as a Blazer fan that they're not the Seattle Supersonics?
That's a fun little twist of the knife to that city up north.
little brother.
That's not your title. That's not yours.
Loaded second hour, Dirt and Sprague, hour two on The Fan, the Odyssey app, and YouTube.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.